Well, you take a look at the Eagles' locker room today. It is clean out the lockers day. Take your physical and the exit physical, the team meeting, which is happening right now. It's one of those days, always a sad one in the NFL. And no matter where you are, what time of the year it is, it's a day when a lot of young men know that there is change coming. Michael Vick cleaning out his locker, Matt Barkley cleaning out his locker, all the shoes, all the... These guys have been going at it really, really hard since way back in April and the season now over 2013. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Eagles Live. I'm Dave Spadaro on this Monday in South Philadelphia. And we've got a lot to get to today, a lot to talk about. The really wonderful ride of 2013 came to an end on Saturday night. A last play of the game field goal from Shane Graham ends the Eagles season. New Orleans Saints come into Lincoln Financial Field and beat the Eagles 26-24. Of course, you already know that. So today, we're going to talk a little bit about the season. We're going to hear from a lot of players and Chip Kelly meeting the media a little bit later on. Let's get you caught up with the headlines of the day. Eagles ending season with a 10-7 record. And look, I will tell you this. The perspective, the feeling is disappointment, but not depression. It is a season to remember, a building block season for the Eagles. It is a time to just to understand that the foundation is in place for this team. So there you have it. That's what I gotta say. Today, every player has to go through physicals, team meeting, and then it's goodbye to the players by and large until April, according to the league CBA. That it, coaches, players, no contact for the next 4+ months. The May draft, May 8th through the 10th. The Eagles will draft 22nd in the first round. 7 draft picks overall for this football team. We've got plenty of time to talk about the draft of 2014. 9 players scheduled to be unrestricted free agents. We will have that list for you in just a little while. And then Chip Kelly, his end of the season press conference at 12:45. Of course, we will have that for you live right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. When we return, and let's return with chins up and realism. This was a fine season, a fun season, a breathtaking season, a season when all the celebration came back after 2 really tough years in Philadelphia. The Eagles winning the NFC East in Chip Kelly's first season, advancing to the playoffs and battling to the very end, leading with 5 minutes to go in Saturday's game against the New Orleans Saints, and came down to a final drive engineered by Drew Brees, started by an excellent kickoff return from Darren Sproles, a 15-yard penalty, and then the Saints moving into field goal position. Every play counts in the playoffs, and it was a great ride for this football team. So today, a little bit of a look back and a little bit of a look ahead. And when we return to Eagles Live, quarterback Nick Foles holding a press conference just a short time ago. We'll bring you a segment of that. We'll post the entire interview for you on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. But next up on Eagles Live, it's quarterback Nick Foles. What a season he has had. 29 touchdown passes, just 2 interceptions. What does the future hold for Foles? We talk about it on the other side when Eagles Live returns.
For the annual shareholders meeting. There will be the usual presentations on research and development. Some new members of the team will be introduced. The chairman emeritus will distribute his usual wisdom. And you? Well, you're the chief life officer. You just need the right professional to help you take charge.
One more. One more time. Come on. One more. Let's get it. Let's go.
Proven hydration to help replace what you sweat out.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
We welcome you back. Dave Spadaro here from our Xfinity studio at the NovaCare Complex. Eagles having a team meeting right now. Cleaned out the lockers, exit interviews. I tell you this, the NFL season is a ladder, and we just jumped off the top rung. So now it's back to the bottom rung of the ladder, and we go through each step. In the next several weeks, the Eagles upstairs in privacy will go through the entire season, the coaches, the personnel department. They'll start to go out to the All-Star games, the Shrine game next week, for example, and the players will go their separate ways, rest their bodies, and then recover as they do. And Nick Foles, Eagles quarterback, will look back on this 2013 season with certainly very good feelings. Look at the numbers from the Eagles quarterback. 64% completion percentage. This is regular season only. Nearly 3,000 yards, 27 touchdown passes, 2 interceptions. He had 2 touchdown passes on Sunday, or rather on Saturday. So that's 29 touchdown passes and 2 interceptions. Nick Foles, a lot to be proud of, jumping into the starting quarterback job in midstream and leading the Eagles to the NFC East Championship, and then just 2 points away or 3 points away from a win on Saturday night against the Saints. Foles putting up some big numbers in the second half of that game, a couple of touchdown passes, Eagles scoring 17 points in half number 2. Wasn't enough, though, and the reflective Foles spoke to the media this morning, as he always is, poise, maturity. And I thought he picked the exact right words to say.
I think just getting out of the season, I think it was really, you know, it was something special to be a part of, to see how a team can grow throughout the course of the year. We started off, you know, rocky at the beginning, good game here, and then we'd lose a couple. And, you know, we're trying to find our identity, new coaching staff, a lot of new players here. So it was neat to see how we bonded together. And something special to be a part of. I thought the city was tremendous throughout the whole season. They cheered us on every step of the way. And, you know, it was a fun, you know, we finally started getting a lot of wins at home, which was great. It was great to start getting those victories at home in front of our fans. And it was just crazy how, you know, I think we were 3-5 at one point, and then we turned it around and started getting on this win streak. And, you know, we started figuring things out. We started bonding as a group. Started growing in the locker room, and I can just tell you now, you know, the guys in there, right, and me and myself included, we want to keep playing, and we're going to take it into the off season to where, you know, we're going to keep working hard, we're going to keep working together, and you know, we're going to be better because of it. And because, you know, I was talking to Jason Kelce today, you know, we want to keep playing. It's hard to, you know, sit at home right now and try to figure out what you're going to do. Obviously, we're going to keep working on our craft and keep working on everything we do. But, you know, it's tough. You go through this all season, you keep working, you work with all the guys, and then it's over. And, you know, everybody has to face this. But it's tough. You know, we were having fun. We were playing together. We were, you know, playing well. We didn't play as well as we wanted to last game, but we were playing well as a team. So I think we're going to take that into the off season and just continue to build on that. I mean, I thought that, you know, we grew a lot as an offense throughout the year, and I think that we can continue to grow together and, you know, get even better. So I think that the possibilities are exciting to me. I'm not going to say, you know, what they are. You know, we got to continue to work at them. Me saying something right now doesn't do anything. My works have to show that. Our works as a team have to show that on the field. So everybody here knows that we have to get better as an organization, as a team, and we will, because we have the people here that do it. But it's going to take a lot of hard work. us saying it isn't going to do anything. We have to go work at it and, you know, practice what we preach. But we have the guys here to do that. So I'm excited to see where this team goes. And we have a great coaching staff, great people, great players. So, I mean, it's something that's special to be a part of, as I will continue to say. And we will continue to work hard and get better. Mike's been tremendous. Ever since I got here, Mike's been tremendous to me. He's been a great veteran for this team. He's been a great leader for this team. And I think it really showed through the course of this year, his true character. And he's got great character as a person. And you can just tell that he's grown a lot. And, you know, he's helped me a lot just playing, you know, whether it's simple things, you know, just go out there, play, have fun, play loose, don't overthink stuff. It's just little things like that. Knowing that he's got my back right there, that's huge. Knowing that someone has your back, they don't necessarily have to be preaching to you all the time. It's just that, hey, I know that guy's going to support me no matter what. No matter what I do, if I throw an interception, he's going to be right there to say, you got it, man. And that's who Mike is. So, you know, Mike and I's relationship, we have a great relationship. We always will. We'll always keep in touch no matter what. You know, we can't play this game forever. I think they're both great coaches. I have all the respect in the world for Coach Reed. He's the one who drafted me here. He's the one who really got me going my rookie year. You know, Doug Peterson, Marty, those guys. You know, I always have a special place in my heart for those guys. And, you know, with Chip, you know, he's a great coach as well. I think it's just you have different schemes, you have different ways of doing things, but not one's better than the other. It's just, you know, how your team reacts, how you go about it. They're both great coaches. As you saw this year, Coach Reed had a very successful year in Kansas City. And, you know, Chip's done a great job here. So there's different ways to do it. I've just been very, very fortunate to have two great head coaches for my first 2 years in the NFL. You know, hopefully, you know, Chip will be here for a long time. You know, he'll be here as long as he wants to be. You know, he's a great coach. He's a great mentor. He's, as I've said before, when he speaks to us, it really, you know, resonates in our heart what he's saying. And, you know, that's something that's special as a head coach. And I love playing for him, and I want to play for Chip for the rest of my career. That's what I want to do. You know, I love the city of Philadelphia. I love playing here for Philadelphia. I think y'all know where my heart is, and, you know, but a lot of it's out of my control. I got to keep playing better and keep, you know, being a great leader for these guys and becoming an even better player. I can't let this season, you know, make me happy. It doesn't make me happy. You know, I'm excited that we grew as a team, but I also know that there's a lot of areas that I want to improve on, and that excites me. That's where I, you know, off season, you work on those areas. So.
And the Nick Foles entire press conference on the website in just a few minutes, so check that out after the show. What an offense for the Eagles this season. Team records galore, and this is just beginning, ladies and gentlemen. Most points, most yards, touchdowns scored, gross passing yards with three quarterbacks. There were a couple games in there where the Eagles just not able to really function because of injuries at the quarterback position. And how about this one? Fewest turnovers, 19 turnovers the entire regular season. With 4,110 passing yards and 2,566 rushing yards, the Eagles became the second team in NFL history to post 4,000-plus passing yards and 2,400-plus rushing yards in a single season. Absolutely fantastic. How about Nick Foles, the quarterback who, at the time, we all wondered, hey, would year one make him the starter in year two? Well, Chip Kelly said, we're going to have some competition here. Michael Vick wins the job in the training camp period of time, the preseason. Nick Foles didn't put his head down. He kept on working hard, and when his time came, Nick Foles was absolutely outstanding. Led this team to the NFC East title. And look at these numbers. 27 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, the best touchdown to interception ratio in NFL history. The only quarterback to throw for more than 20 touchdowns and less than 2 interceptions. That is remarkable. A passer rating 3rd best ever in the NFL. And Foles currently the franchise's all-time leader in quarterback rating and completion percentage. And then he goes out in the playoffs and has a good game. Not a great game, a good game against the New Orleans Saints. Absolutely fantastic building block kind of season for him. And he will get better. He knows. And that's what I loved about what he said today. All he wants to do is improve every facet of his game. How about LeSean McCoy? At the top of his game, at the top of the heap in the NFL. McCoy in this season, well, he recovered from that concussion of a year ago. He certainly picked up the Chip Kelly system very, very nicely and went out and led the NFL in rushing and in yards from scrimmage. An absolutely remarkable season for him, who is now McCoy's name now etched at the very top of the list in rushing yards and scrimmage yards in Eagles history. The first Eagle to lead the league in rushing since Steve Van Buren in 1949, and to lead the league in scrimmage yards since Brian Westbrook in 2007. But McCoy was not alone in this offense. The Eagles, in the passing game, relied on DeSean Jackson down the field. And Jackson really rebounding after a couple of so-so seasons for him in 2011 and 2012. Used all over the formation, crossing routes out of the backfield, pure speed down the field. DeSean Jackson delivering with one of the greatest seasons of any wide receiver in team history. Targeted 126 times, 82 catches, 1,332 yards. Look at that, yards per catch average. Fantastic with 9 touchdowns for DeSean Jackson. Outstanding year for Jackson. Now, last 3 games, including the playoffs, only 10 catches for Jackson. So that's an area where the offense can really improve, getting the football not only to Jackson, but making sure that the offense functions when he does not touch the football. Riley Cooper, one of those players who emerged this year, forced into a starting role with Jeremy Maclin's injury. Riley Cooper became the big target for the Eagles in the red zone, and surprisingly, a big playmaker down the field. Riley Cooper obviously having some issues in the offseason, but matured, came back, accepted by his teammates, worked very hard in the Eagles, getting some production across the board. Cooper, 47 catches. The tight ends there, Celek and Ertz, combining for some big numbers, 68 catches, and really productive in the red zone. I think that young man, Zach Ertz, will be a huge part of what the Eagles do offensively in years to come. Now on the defensive side, Eagles making that transition from the 4-3 under last year and the mess of a defensive scheme, making it a 3-4 now, and D'Amico Ryan's really thriving, playing outstanding football, leading his team in tackles, solo tackles, leadership, played in the backfield, got his hands on the football, 2 interceptions in the regular season, and then a big one on Saturday night against the Saints. He gets a lot of help from his teammates, but D'Amico Ryan's was the one who the Eagles looked to in the locker room, on the field. D'Amico Ryan's really fitting in nicely to what the Eagles were trying to do with Bill Davis and his scheme. So good to see D'Amico Ryan's better in year 2 as an Eagle than he was in year 1, and really led the charge for an Eagles defense that, again, 10 of 11 games leading into the playoffs, the Eagles allowing 21 points or less, 10 of 12 games, I'm sorry, allowing 21 points or less, but really keeping this football team in the games. A lot of takeaways as well. Michael Kendricks in year number 2. What a season he had. 4 sacks, 6 hurries, 3 interceptions, 4 fumble recoveries. He was all around the football all year long. Michael Kendricks, aggressive, downhill player, emotional, physical, did a terrific job with him. Trent Cole, also at the linebacker position, Eagles getting some good play from Cole. He had 8 quarterback sacks, 7 in the second half of the season. He now is 2nd in Eagles history in quarterback sacks, making the transition from the 4-3 hand-in-the-dirt defensive end to a 3-4 pass rusher off the edge. Nice job, Trent Cole. Doesn't mean the Eagles won't bring some competition in, but Trent Cole really revived himself in 2013. We go up into this group of defenders, and you look across the board. Brandon Boykin, a slot cornerback, leads the team with 6 interceptions. Kerry Williams had 3 interceptions. Physical play, emotional guy. Good job for him. Connor Barwin, of course, all over the field, all over in the right position. He was great on Saturday night against the Saints. Got his hands up this year, getting to the football, playing the run, the edge, setting the edge so well. Physical presence, intelligent player, athletic player. Connor Barwin, a great signing in free agency, one of several for the Eagles as they really put this defense together on the fly, and it played well enough to win the NFC East. But obviously, we go to more than offense, more than defense. How can you not talk about special teams in the run this season? Donnie Jones, Eagles punter, leading the league in punts inside the 20-yard line. An average, gross average of 44.9. A percentage of punts inside the 20 at 40.2%. Eagles record for net yards in punting. Another outstanding signing for the Eagles, an unrestricted free agent, somebody the Eagles will have to make a decision on. So he is one of the players that you look at and say, love to have him back. Let's hope it works out. So there you go. Kind of a look back at the season. Now we want to get some phone calls from you, some reaction from you. It's settled in, I know. I know it hurts. Again, the feeling I have, the feeling around the building, disappointment, not depression. A really good start, and the Eagles back in business here in 2013. Great things to come in the future, but the Eagles have a lot of work to do. When we return to Eagles Live, we take your phone calls. Chip Kelly on the way, and some player reaction from the locker room. It's clean out day at the NovaCare Complex. I'm Dave Spadaro. We'll return to Eagles Live in just one moment.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding SEPTA was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
Now Xfinity from Comcast makes it easier than ever to instantly access your favorite sports live, all in one place. That's Monday Night Football on ESPN or the NHL on NBC Sports Network and college basketball on Fox Sports 1 on any device, anywhere, anytime. You can't do that with satellite. Go to Xfinity.com/livesports to start streaming now or simply launch the Xfinity TV Go app on your mobile device.
Your home for the most live sports, Xfinity.
You can't find a great doctor just anywhere.
Sure you can.
Specialists?
Yep.
Primary care?
You bet.
Jefferson Doctors?
Take a look at this.
Excellent doctors, lots of locations. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW.
Wow, that's a good number.
1-800-JEFF-NOW? It sure is.
I meant a good number of doctors.
I meant a good number for doctors.
I've got a feeling this could go on for a while.
No, it can't. You'll interrupt the announcer.
Find a Jefferson doctor. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans.
Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
How would you like to have a VIP office party for up to 50 people at the Eagles NovaCare Complex? Well, you can do it now. We've got the Rico fan party for you, and all you have to do is go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com and register for the Rico fan party. Rico, imagine and change. The contest runs through the end of the month of January. Get in now and win a VIP office party for up to 50 people right here at the NovaCare Complex. Let's get to some phone calls now. We hear from Chris in Virginia, who starts us off. Chris, good afternoon to you, sir.
How you doing, Dave?
All righty.
Yeah, I hear that, man. You're doing as good as we could. After the past couple down years, man, it was good to have some meaningful football towards the end of the year. I'm going to take this on a high note and just excited for the future, man. There's a lot of good players we brought in, a lot of young talent, and I like the coaching staff as well.
Yeah, but you would agree, though, a lot of work needs to be done. Where would you list some of your wants?
Definitely safety. Actually, I don't know because, you know, we never really know what Oral Roughly amounted to after his injury. I think, you know, we might need to get a little bigger up on the D-line. We kind of got pushed around there towards the end, you know, a lot of those QB sneaks and stuff. As Chip says, bigger players beat up little players. And
agreed.
Abused on the D-line, I thought. But maybe wide receiver here or there, maybe a big guy. But I don't know. I mean, just a couple of pieces here and there, but I like what we got in place. You know, I like the system they got. I mean, hey. For this first year at Chip's offense, the records we've set, man. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, and agreed. Thank you for the call. Thanks, Chris. There were a lot of good things done this year. I think everybody acknowledges that it's going to be tougher next year. First place schedule, higher expectations. I took a look at some of the offensive numbers. I've always had the opinion that in a lot of ways, it's easier to go from 4-12 to the top of the division than it is to stay at the top of the division and make progress that way. I mean, the Eagles could be a better team next year. They've got to win more games against a tough schedule and understanding that it's going to be very much of a lot of expectations. Let's go to Fort Lauderdale, talk to Shannon, who joins us. Hey, Shannon.
Happy New Year, Dave. How you doing, brother?
Good. How are you?
Good, man. I'm just like you and our owner, man. I mean, you know, sad and disappointed, but not depressed, man. I think we have a lot to build on. Of course, man, I'd like to see some bigger, faster receivers to give some bigger targets, safeties, maybe some more pass rush, man. But I think I feel good about where we are. Of course, I'm happy that hopefully everybody sees that Nick Foles is our future as well. I feel good, man. I'm just excited about the future, man, and see where we're going to go from there, man. One question I have for you, Dave. Every game, you know, all of us can nitpick about the game. I mean, but at the end of the day, man, very few people could say we would have been 10-6, 10-7. What is one thing that you saw looking at the game on the field that was a game changer for you?
Well, I didn't think the Eagles did a very good job moving the offense.
Gotcha.
Through three quarters.
Gotcha.
And thanks for the call, Shannon. Until the Saints lost Keenan Lewis, their cornerback, DeSean Jackson had one target and zero receptions. Now, to me, the offense, and I think that I give the Saints a ton of credit, but I've come to expect so much from this offense that when my defense takes the football away from Drew Brees twice, I want to put points on the board after those takeaways. I need to be explosive down the field. This is an offense that set an NFL record for explosive plays, 20-plus yards. I think they had one on Saturday night and one target to DeSean Jackson and zero receptions. Just doesn't get it done. So my disappointment, I mean, certainly, look, the Eagles had a lead with four minutes and 44 seconds left in the game. I get that. I just think that the way the defense played early, you know, the Eagles didn't have the offense to take advantage of that. So as much as I want to improve the defense next year, I'm looking at the offense too. Missed opportunity right here on the sack. The Eagles are down at the 15-yard line. They get a minus 8 on a screen pass to Celek, and then Foles takes that sack, and then Alex Henry misses a 48-yard field goal. That's a missed opportunity. Can't have those in the playoffs. Jimmy in Las Vegas joins us. Hi, Jimmy.
Hey, Dave. Good morning.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Dave, I'm going to speak some heresy here. And I'm going to close the book on the season. I'm going to look forward to next year. I'm calling Obi in Houston with the first pick. I'm offering Nick Foles, our second-round pick. I'm whispering in Mariota's ear to come out. I'm taking him. We have a four-gear offense that we can only run in three gears. I love Nick Foles. I think that he's more of a dropback. He's not a quick switch. He's wonderful. I just think that if we're going to go to the next level, take the next step, we've got to take advantage of Chip's knowledge of offense that clearly presents problems for NFL defenses. I love Foles. I'm not saying give them away. I'm saying sell high, buy low, and sell high.
Well, thank you for the idea. I'll tell you, my view of quarterback, I'm not getting into all the franchise quarterbacks and stuff. I would give away Nick Foles, trade Nick Foles if I could get, and I'm not limiting this list, but Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck. Not sure there's anybody else I would trade Nick Foles for. I'm certainly not going to trade him for a player who's not even in the NFL yet. Foles threw 29 touchdown passes, 2 interceptions this year. Did he make some mistakes? Sure, absolutely. Very few, though. 2 interceptions, a couple sacks here and there. But I love the kid. And he's going to get better, and he's competitive. And he's going to have the offseason to get the reps with the ones and more knowledge in the offense. And they're going to bring in some playmakers. Trust me on that one. There's going to be change to this offense, just as there is every year. So I'm fine with that. Let's take a look at the 2014 opponents as we... Yeah! Let's look ahead a little bit here. Why not? Cowboys, Giants, Redskins in division at home. Panthers, Jaguars, Seahawks, Rams. Who's at home? Who's away here? Cardinals are away. Packers are away. 49ers are away. Seahawks are home. There's your opponents. We'll get the schedules later. Obviously, I think they come out around April, late April, July, or April or May. But it's going to be a tough schedule, no doubt about it. Some key dates here. July 26th is the Pro Bowl. There's maybe a Super Bowl in there as well. The NFL Combine is February 19th to the 25th. April, the NFL schedule release. May 8th to the 10th, the NFL Draft. It's the 22nd pick in the first round. And at some point in July, date not determined yet, training camp begins. Let's go to New York and talk to the Zumpster, the Zumpy, Zumpola. Hi, Zump.
How about those birds, baby?
How you feeling, buddy?
I feel good, man. Listen, I have my head up high, man.
Yeah.
Every Eagles fan should. That last caller about Foles, I don't know what he's smoking, but I think Nick Foles, from even in the beginning, Nick Foles I thought was a starter, but I think he solidified it. 8 minutes left, 7 minutes left, down 23-17, left the field with the lead, never had a playoff experience. Unbelievable. To me, that's a leader. To me, that's ice in your veins to bring them back. I just want to thank the Philadelphia Eagles, the organization, for a wonderful season. Nobody expected us to have 10 wins, especially me. What can you say?
What did you expect, Zomp?
I expected 6-10, 7-9, around there. College coach, new coaches, new scheme, change to 3-4. Who would have thought this?
What do you think is the next phase with this offense?
I mean, you got to see what's going on with receiver. That's first off. I think we have the best offensive line in football when healthy. That's just my opinion. I think Nick Foles has to learn more stuff. I think he's going to be better. Regarding the receiver, Macklin, do we trust his knee? What do we give him? I think Coop should come back. I think he played well. Two things that I would like to see is definitely safety and definitely, and I know maybe you're going to bash me for this, but I want Alex Henry out of here. That's just for me, though.
Well, I understand that. And tell me, I think Alex, I was disappointed in missing the 48-yard field goal. It was a 48-yard field goal. I have no problem with the kickoff, by the way. It was 2 yards deep in the end zone.
But I
will agree with you that he's got to be better in that 43 to 49 yard range, and then plus 50. We're in a time and a place where the Justin Tuckers of the world in Baltimore are weapons, and they're plus 50 yard weapons. However, it is difficult to find those players, and Alex has been very, very consistent and accurate. I think he's got to get stronger. Wouldn't surprise me to see competition brought in. I certainly think there would be, but I'm not going to give up on Alex Henry just to give up on him. You bring somebody in better, he wins the job. Okay, that's one thing. That's one thing different. Safety, I will absolutely agree with you. Eagles need to bring an impact or two, safety or two into this team if you can find them. And so there are a couple names out there floating in free agency. I know that those names are of interest to the fans. I have no idea how the Eagles feel about those players or what those players are looking for, but I'm sure the Eagles are on the lookout for help all across the board, and safety is included.
Dave, let me tell you, man, I'm just thankful. Like I said, I 100% agree with you. And that's it. You did a wonderful job at the halftime show, by the way. You got me amped up.
Thank you.
Can't wait to talk next season, my brother.
Thank you. Hey, next
thank
season,
you for everything, man.
We're going to have a show next week.
Oh, you are? Okay.
We're not going away. Come on.
I'll call in then.
All right.
All right, man.
Thanks, Zompy. Thank you so much.
Thanks, man.
All right, Chip Kelly coming up in just a few moments. We take a break right now. It's Eagles Live. I'm Dave Spadaro. We're going to go in the locker room and get some player reaction when we return on Eagles Live.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays. But you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
There's a new kind of energy company that's not just selling you power. It's giving you power. The power to make saving energy easy. The power to customize your electricity plan with green energy and be rewarded for your loyalty. Even the power to help your home generate its own electricity. Now that's the kind of power we can all use.
Ready for a little fun?
you could scratch your way to instant winning. Play the Pennsylvania Lottery's new instant game, Max-A-Million, with five top prizes of $1 million. It's kind of fun to hit the green. Keep on scratching.
Out here, there are no cheat codes. No avatars, no magic stars. This does not require an operating system, or a username or password. And there will not be better versions of these games coming out next year. Connect to something meaningful. Shop the brands you love, plus thousands of items on sale now. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
These days you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
We welcome you back to the NovaCare Complex, Eagles Live. I'm Dave Spadaro. Time to go into the locker room, and then on the other side, Chip Kelly will have his season-ending press conference. We start in the locker room with the leader of this team, linebacker D'Amico Ryans.
It usually doesn't happen much. Yeah. You know, nowadays in the game, you usually don't get where you have guys who are coming up on free agent deals, stuff like that. So it's kind of rare to have that situation where we have the possibility of keeping everybody together, and I think we have a good group, but we still have to find a way to get better. It allows us to, you know, move forward a lot quicker. Uh-huh. It's not that process of relearning, reteaching from the beginning. Uh-huh. We already have that basis of our defense. Everybody has the knowledge of what Coach Davis is trying to do. Uh-huh. So I just see our defense really expanding and mm-hmm. becoming even better and becoming more multiple in what we're capable of doing. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, Coach Kelly's just coming in first and foremost. He's just, you know, he knows what he wants, he knows how he wants, and he's a great motivator. He gets the guys going, gets guys believing in what he wants you to do. And I feel like he's a really, really great leader. That's one thing I learned from Coach Kelly this year. He's a great leader and he's a great football coach.
A good signing in free agency, cornerback Kerry Williams, physical, emotional, led some fire, added some fires to this Eagles defense. He speaks in the locker room as the Eagles clean it out and get ready for the offseason.
We have to understand that, you know, like I said, the playoffs games is something that far and few between at times, or can be, and we squandered opportunities, so you know, we have to go back to the drawing board. We have to just get back to the basics, hard work, fundamental. You know, just working on little things in the offseason so that we can get, you know, a little bit better next season. We are in the business of winning games, and that's the most important thing for an organization, for a franchise. And we want to go deep in the playoffs, and it's just going to have to take hard work. We have to get back to what we were doing last offseason, do something maybe a little different, take something to the next level. I don't know, you know, but it's all going to stem from hard work and dedication and rededicating ourselves and committing ourselves to excellence and understanding that every time we walk into this building, it's excellence is what we expect.
What happens with quarterback Michael Vick? Well, he talked to the media today, and he's waiting just like you and I.
This football team is in great shape. I think with Chip, and we'll start with Jeffrey, you know, and Howie and what Chip has been able to put together and structure. You know, this organization is in great shape going into 2014 and beyond. So I'm just thankful that I had an opportunity to be a part of it, learn so much, you know, experience the things that I've had an opportunity to experience this year. And, you know, the knowledge I've been able to, you know, obtain, you know, it's far-fetched. So, you know, those are things that don't come around so often. I have no favorite memories. I think the memories that I have was the memories of coming here every day. And like I say, the brotherhood that we have with each and every guy in this locker room, how we stuck together, fought together when there were dismal times and this team was kind of under duress, you know, throughout the middle of the season, and how we pulled together was phenomenal. And the memories I have over the years, and you know, just throwing to Deshaun and handing off to Shady, and you know, playing with Jason Peters, and you know, just so many great guys in here who I think are future Hall of Famers. You know, it's something that I'll never forget.
Staying on offense, Deshaun Jackson, a truly outstanding season. Number 10, pleased with the way he picked up the offense and was used in 2013.
Since day one, I was able to learn, you know, the full offense, you know, more than one position. So it gave, you know, the Chip and Pat flexibility to move me out throughout the offense and things like that. So, you know, I credit that as well, too, to the success I had this year. I mean, honestly, I think the work I put in during the offseason definitely shows during the season, especially this past year. I feel like I've put in a lot of extra work, really not taking too many days off and just working at my craft. So, I mean, regardless of, you know, what defense do to try to take me out, double team, triple team me, I mean, that's just part of the game. You know, dealing with Jerry Rice and, you know, talking to him as a mentor, you know, he's always told me, I mean, it's anybody can beat one-on-one coverage, but, you know, once you're able to beat, you know, double coverage and triple coverage, then that, you know, that's when you know if you kind of graduated to a different level of playing. So, I just have to understand that and just go out there and just keep my cool and not get frustrated and know, you know, in the game a play would come to me. I just got to make the most out of my opportunity.
Brent Celek, one of the team leaders here, really developed himself over the years. An outstanding all-around game. Blocker, receiver, scores touchdowns, does it all. Sad to see this season end, but for Celek, a lot to look forward to with this Philadelphia Eagles team.
We had a good football team. I still feel that, I mean, we definitely have the talent. We didn't finish there at the end of the game, and things like that happen. But things change in this league year by year. I don't really think we had a weak division. I think every team in the NFL is great. I mean, it's crazy the parity that there is among teams in the NFL from year to year. So, you know, we just got to worry about ourselves and us getting better. And I think if we do that, we'll be fine. That's the worst part of this business. You get relationships with some of these guys, and then, you know, they're out of here just like that. And it's hard to stay in touch with them. But, hey, you got to move on and, you know, that's how this sport is. I mean, I think we did, you know, well there at the end as a team and came together. And I mean, I think Chip's a great leader. I think, you know, we're going to be a good team for a long time as long as we keep doing what we're doing. Just continue to work hard, do all the small things, and continue to get better. And I think if we do that, like I was saying before, we're going to be fine.
We'll get to more players in just a bit. Now it's time for head coach Chip Kelly, the season-ending press conference.
And do you take any satisfaction?
That's
kind of harsh. or you know, I mean, the old school NFL people who didn't think a college guy could come in here and succeed in his first year. Did you take any satisfaction in proving some naysayers wrong?
None whatsoever. And I think the reception I got, especially from the coaches in the league, was awesome. So Tom Coughlin, guys like that that I have great respect for, that have been around this league for a long time, they were great with me. So I just. I'm real appreciative to the other coaches in this league. You know, you get a chance to talk to them before the game and some of their thoughts and insights. And I know it's an honor to coach in this league. It's very difficult to get one of these jobs, and I have great respect for the guys. I got a chance to meet a lot of them at the league meetings that I hadn't met before, and I think every one of them from just in our division, Jason was outstanding, Mike was outstanding, Tom Coughlin was great. You know, there was a lot of guys. Some of them are new, you know. Mike McCoy was great visiting with him. You know, when we played him, Mark Trestman was fantastic, but I never got that at all.
Why were you so confident that your program and your schemes would work at this level, having never coached up at this level?
I wasn't confident. I mean, I had a system and a plan that we were going to go in, but I didn't know what the outcome was going to be until it was all finished. So, but I think we play sound fundamental football, you know, and I think that's what we preach on a daily basis to our players, and I think it's still a game of 11 on 11, and I think a lot of things we do schematically match up 11 on 11, and it's a fundamental game, and I think that's what our coaches teach. I thought we brought in a bunch of really good teachers that could implement the plan that we had in place, and we felt this was the best plan for us this year going forward.
People had asked you before you took this job, when they knew you were interested in the NFL, people asked you a lot, do you think your offense could work in the NFL, and you would always say, I don't know. After when did you realize that first game?
I should qualify this, and I think there's so much misconception of that. It's not my offense. It's the Philadelphia Eagles offense, and it was put together by a bunch of guys on our staff that are really smart that played to our players' strengths, and that's what it's all about. And if we have a different set of players, then the offense would look different, and this offense didn't look like it looked when it was at Oregon, but I'm not at Oregon. But our offense at Oregon looked different every year depending on the personnel we have, and I've said it since day one. It's a personnel-driven sport, And I think the coaches that adapt, you know, and I'll give credit. One of the guys I think did a tremendous job. If you look at what John Fox did and how he took a team led by Tim Tebow, a quarterback, to the playoffs, and then that offense is totally different with Peyton Manning running. It's still the same coach. You know, and that's a credit to Foxy in terms of what he did. But that's what football is all about, is finding out what your players are and then maximizing their abilities.
Looking back now, though, how much of your offense would you say changed from Michael Vick at the beginning to Nick at the end? How much did
it? Let's just start again. It's not my offense.
All right. How much did the offense change?
It changed slightly. You know, I think a lot of things we did, depending on who the players are. But a lot of that, it's not just the quarterback. It's everybody. You know, what are their strengths and how do we maximize that? You know, James Casey played more towards the end of the year. There was a lot of things James really could do that added some input to what we were doing on the offensive side of the ball. You know, the emergence of, we didn't know. You know, you lost Mack in camp. So now where are we from another receiver standpoint? And how did Riley Cooper step up and do an outstanding job? So, you know, now you're starting to say about how are we getting Riley involved in the offense? You know, there's a lot of different things. I think that the job Jason Avant did down the stretch from a real underrated, you know, I don't think how people understand how important Jason was to what we were doing, not only in the passing game, but what we were doing in the running game. There's a lot of that went on during the season. So
here, when you came in, you know, you obviously weren't familiar with the players and the personnel here. Now, with this offseason, do you approach it a little differently now that you've got a feel for what you have and where you want?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I mean, we're at a different level now. I mean, literally last year at this time, I wasn't here. I wasn't an employee of the Philadelphia Eagles, you know. And when I did get the job on January 16th, got to put a staff together, you know. And we spent a lot of time, and that was extremely important to me, of finding the right fit and putting all those guys in place. And then we've got to, at the same time we're looking at free agency, put in offensive and defensive and special team systems once we got our staff completed, and then preparing for our first off season with our players, and then what are we going to teach them on day one when we get them here on April 1st? So everything was a first-time thing for us. It was our first minicamp, our first OTA, our first phase one, our first free agency, our first draft. All those things are different. So now that we've got at least a year of experience, it'll be a little bit different here in the offseason. You know, we're all not living in a hotel, you know, and spending basically 20 hours a day here because we got nowhere else to go. You know, I say there's a lot of differences to it. So I think for a first-year standpoint, I think we've laid a foundation, but we got a whole lot of work to do.
When you go through your off-season evaluations and you start that process of looking at what you have, mm-hmm. How much more weight do you put on Saturday night's game, or do you kind of value everything together? Or
I think that's a mistake. You know, I think you have to look at everything. You know, and obviously that one, that's the freshest in our mind. And we all understand that, but I think, and I've always done it that way, there has to be the totality of the season and, you know, every opportunity that we have. And we'll spend, the one thing we do have is time, so we're not going to rush to any judgments. It's January 6th today, and we got a lot of time between now and our players aren't back here until April 21st. So, you know, we understand the schedule. We understand we have a schedule for the coaches that's mapped out till the 19th of June already. We know exactly where we're going to be on every single day, and when our OTAs are, when our minicamp is, when all this stuff goes, when free agency hits, when all that stuff is. So we got a lot of time, and I don't think you can put more stock in one than any other. You know, we got to look at the entire season and how this thing, in terms of our evaluations of our players, of our scheme, of everything that we're going to do. So,
how much of an input will you have with Howie Roseman as far as getting some other players in here, positionings and different things like that?
A ton. You know, I think Howie and this personnel department do a great job of, you know, but we have to still continue to outline what we're looking for in players, because there are certain players that are great fits. There are other players that are tremendous football players, but they may not fit scheme-wise in terms of what we're doing, and, you know, that's not what we're looking for. So there's a great collaboration in terms of what we're bringing in here.
And Chip, as you build the roster this offseason, are you planning to have Foles as the starting quarterback going forward?
Yeah.
He's the guy.
Yeah.
Chip, why do you think people question whether you're, I mean, explain all of us, I guess, the abilities of Nick Foles and why people may question. And it comes up all the time that he's your quarterback.
I don't know.
So what are his strengths that
I think he's a great decision maker. I think he's extremely accurate in where he puts the ball. I think he's very young, you know, and I think people still sometimes forget about that. You know, he didn't become our starter till, you know, after Mike went down in the Giants game, and he's still, you know, but in the short body of work he did, I think he did an outstanding job. So
did he exceed your expectations?
I mean, at some
some point, you know, he obviously didn't win the job in the summer. At some point, there must have been some attribute about him that you said, wow, that's more than I thought was there.
I don't look that way. I don't have expectations, you know, of this has to be this. It's just our evaluations are based upon demonstrated abilities, and he demonstrated in the time that he was in there that he deserved to be the starting quarterback.
So. Chip, from a coaching aspect, if any, how much of this whole season was a learning process for you, or is coaching, whether it's a college or pro?
How much? Yeah. Every day. And if it wasn't that way, then what I preach to my players isn't right. You know, it's every day we can learn. Every day is a new experience for us, and every day it's up to us to make sure that we realize what just happened, and if it wasn't right, do we let it happen again? Or if it was right, do we continue to do that? But I think you got to have an open mind in terms of it. You know, the one thing I know, and I preach this all the time to our players, and it's the same for us. It's, you know, what I talk to them about is the same for us, is that you've never arrived. You know, you're always trying to get better every single day, and you're always trying to see how we can do it better than we did it the last time. And that's fun. I mean, that's kind of the passion of what this whole process is all about. But if you can wake up in the morning and you're excited about going to work and trying to make things better, then that's what we're looking for. And I think we got a bunch of players that understand that and do that. And I think I know we have a coaching staff that feels the same way.
What excites you most about the future of this team?
What's that?
What excites you the most about
the future? I think the chemistry of this team. You know, I think how our staff and our players interact and how receptive these guys are. You know, that was a big unknown for me, and not knowing what it was going to be like in the National Football League. And if you listen to some people, it's drudgery. It's not. You know, the only thing that's disappointing is we're still not playing right now, because it's an exciting group to be around. There's an energy around this group of guys, and that's, you know, hopefully in year one, if this is what we can do, we can learn to build upon this. So.
Michael, personally, in your coaching staff, what areas do you guys need to improve on going into next year? Kind of self-scouting in this offseason?
Everything. Scheme. You know, what are we doing? And you can break it down specifically. What was our third down percentage? It wasn't as good as it needs to be. I mean, there's so many different things. And I think when you're doing it the right way, there's not one thing, just like I said, you never arrive. There's not one thing, hey, we're real good at that, let's not worry about that. I think we'll sit down and detail everything from a situational standpoint to games of 4-minute offense, 2-minute offense, third down, what are we doing there, coming out, going in, red zone, high red zone, kicking game, all those things I think are things that there'll be no stone left unturned. We need to continue to grow as a group.
Michael, what needs do you think you guys have defensively moving forward, like what you guys need to address?
Like I said, it's January 6th, so we haven't sat down and done a full evaluation, nor is there any time to do that. You know, we were in yesterday and watched the film of the game, and you know, and now we've got time to make sure we can really look at how do we improve, and how do we improve in every facet? How do we improve scheme wise? How do we improve personnel wise? Those are all things that these next couple of months, that because of the schedule and how it does fall, and us not being with these guys again until April 21st, there's a lot of time there. But for me to stand here and say it's this, and this, then I haven't spent enough time as a group, nor have we as a staff or a personnel department to look at all those things and say, we got an answer on January 6th of what direction we're going to head in.
Do you want all of your staff back, your coaching staff back next year?
Yes.
And do you plan that they will all be back?
I hope so.
What happens when teams come calling for some of the guys, Billy Lazor, Pat Shurmur, who potentially could be candidates for offensive coordinator or head coach? How are you going to handle it? Or head coach. How would you handle that? Would you allow them to go do that, or would you?
Everything's done on an individual basis, so, and I'll talk to those guys, but we haven't had any requests put in from yet. But when they do come in, I'd sit down and visit with them, and what do they want to do, and how do they want to go about it?
So. Come with the success that this team has had offensively this year.
I have no idea. It's my first year.
Kind of working, you had the staff continuity was fairly. Why was that? Why were you able to keep that whole staff in place when you guys had so much success?
We had a lot of fun working together. And, you know, it was part of the difficult thing for me leaving was them, you know. And it's, you know, sometimes the grass isn't always greener, you know. And I think we had a bunch of guys. It's a unique situation at that school. There a lot of guys that were there before I got there, too. You know, when I was named the head coach, I was the youngest guy on staff, I think, in the least amount of time there. There's been guys that have been there for a long, long time. And that's a rarity, whether it's in the professional or the college ranks. But I think we had an environment that we were excited about going to work every day, and I feel like we have that here. But I'm never going to stand in the way of someone bettering themselves. So.
What do you learn about dealing with college? And it seems like this time team respected you from day one. A lot of college guys have been tripped up by dealing with college kids and then dealing with grown men at the next level. What do you think is your biggest strength in making that transition so easy, apparently?
I can't speak to what other situations were like, but part of that is how receptive is the audience that you're speaking to on the first time, and that was the one thing that was evident to me on April 1st when I met with this, and I had talked to some guys before that, but we weren't, I mean, it was a, hey, how you doing? You know, with the collective bargaining, you can't spend any real time with guys in the off season, but I think we have a bunch of guys that were on the same page in terms of what they want to get accomplished, you know, and I always felt that our job as a coaching staff is to create an environment where our players have an opportunity to be successful and then get out of their way and let them go do it. And that's what we tried to create here, and that's what we will continue to try to create here. But you also have to have a bunch of willing guys that want to do that. And, you know, I think that the makeup of the group of people we had here, I think that didn't go unnoticed to us as coaches, that it was a bunch of guys that really wanted to be coached and that really wanted to be better and were very receptive to everything that we were doing as a staff. And they also knew that we would listen to them, you know, because there's a lot of things that I know personally myself that I didn't know because I had never been here before. So that, you know, I think when you can sit down and talk to D'Amico Ryans and ask him how he's feeling and what does he think, then that's extremely important to me, you know, to get an input and try to see it through D'Amico's eyes, because ultimately, and it's always been this way, and that's what it's a players' league, and it's always going to be a players' league, and it should be a players' league. They're the ones that are out there playing, you know, and our job, simple, is to create an environment where they have an opportunity to be successful and then get out of the way and let them go play.
You signed a big space-filling nose tackle in the offseason and then eventually traded him and then ended up with Benny primarily playing at that spot. But he's versatile. You can move him all around. Do you have a preference there of what you want at that spot? Do you want, like, a strict nose tackle guy just lines over the center, or do you want someone who's versatile?
I mean, I don't get into specifics. I mean, you would wish everybody could be versatile. I wish we had a 6'7", 350-pound guy that ran 4.2. But does that exist? You have to work with what you have. One of the things that allowed us in that situation was Benny's versatility, and when you saw him every single day in practice, but also Square and also Clifton, is that we felt confident in our young guys at that position that we could make that move. So you don't always get the ideal what you're at any position or what you're looking for.
You talk a lot about the chemistry and how good it was, but you also kind of want to bring in new players and upgrade. How do you balance kind of wanting to keep it together, what you have and the special chemistry, but also, you know, bring in guys who can compete and upgrade at different spots?
I think you have to be thorough in your evaluations, and it's not just height, weight, speed. You know, this guy can do this from a physical standpoint. There's so many different factors that ultimately impact why a person is successful and not successful, and there's a lot of really good athletes out there that don't maximize their abilities because of maybe an intangible quality. What's their passion for the game? How much are they willing to learn? How much are they willing to sacrifice? You know, not what are they willing to give. Sometimes what are they willing to give up? So, you know, there's a lot involved in that process. And I just feel because we're not putting together a staff, we're not putting in new systems, we're not spending all that. We can spend a little bit more time on the personnel aspect of things. And our personnel department's done a great job of us articulating what we're really truly looking for, and then those guys going out and finding it.
When you look at your rookie class and all the rookies that were making contributions, pretty rare. I mean, you go around the league, not down to a fourth round pick, fifth round pick, guy like Square, even as you mentioned. You about as happy as you could have been with this class, and pleasantly surprised with it at all?
It's my favorite draft class for the Philadelphia Eagles.
I mean, I know you didn't know this is your first year, and you don't know what the percentage is always of team rookie success, but
yeah, I mean, I was really happy. I'm really, really happy with our young guys, and I think they've all got really bright futures here. But is that going to happen every year? It's a catch-22, because if it's happened every year, then the top of your roster is not what it's supposed to be. You know, so if each year we're bringing in 10 or 12 brand-new guys, then they're taking – there's only 46 guys active. They're taking 10 or 12 guys that were on the team last year. So at some point in time, you know, you hope you're at a point in time when we're not having anybody make the team as a young player, because the older players we got in place are doing a great job and we're winning a ton of football games and we're competing for championships. So, you know, there's that catch-22. But I think there was a lot of turnover early. I think that's understandable. It's a new coaching staff, a new systems in every aspect of the game. So that part's a little bit different. But I don't, you know, if we're bringing in 10, 12 new faces every year, then that means we're not where we need to be right now.
What was your experience like coaching Michael Vick?
I love Michael Vick. I mean, that guy's awesome. And I think how he handled, you know, a very difficult situation, you know, because of Nick's success. I don't think that that's not any indication of Michael's non-success, you know, and I think from what we've asked him to do since I got here, he's done everything. Unfortunately, he got hurt, and that gave an opportunity to another guy, and I think sometimes for a lot of people, you put yourself in those shoes. That's hard to wrap your arms around, you know, because it's not like Michael was wrong and that Michael got benched. It was a unique situation, and I think how he handled it, how he helped Nick through the process, it just tells you the type of person he is and the type of teammate he is, and I think that didn't go unnoticed by me, and I appreciate everything he did my first year here.
How much time will you allow yourself to mentally unwind now before you get right back at it?
I had yesterday. That was about it. I mean, it's a tough process, and I think you can beat yourself up, and yesterday I won a lot of fun for, you know, it was a lot of us. We weren't supposed to be in as coaches, but there was a lot of us in as coaches, and it's, you know, you kind of, what do we do now? But it's, we got to move forward. We got to get going, and there's a lot of things to do. But that's an exciting thing for us. That's not like, we don't look at what we do as drudgery. It's a exciting time for us to take the next step and what's the next challenge. And I think we've laid a foundation, but, you know, you got to build something upon that foundation. You just can't rest on your laurels. And I've never been that way. The exciting part is, you know, what's the next step for us? And that started this morning. You know, we met on both sides of the ball, watched the game again as a staff, and made the corrections just like we normally do on Monday mornings. And now we've got some exit things with our players, and I have a team meeting. And then, you know, what's the next step from our evaluations of our players? What's our schedule? And I have our schedule mapped out from now until the last day of minicamp, which is June 19th, and go over that with our coaches in terms of what we're going to do between now and June 19th to make this team a better team. So.
You going forward with Nick as your starter, and I'm sure Mike still wants to start in this league. Do you find it's going to be very hard to bring him back with free agency?
Today's January 6th. I said it before we started this thing. There's no evaluations made on anything. So.
You talked last spring about having specific measurables for players at different positions. How much have those changed, or have they changed at all now that you've kind of had
the measurables never change, but if you still have to get a guy, you know, so you just can't say we want a 6'3", 220-pound safety. Well, there are none. Well, we're not going to play with 10. You know, so you got to, you know, this is what we're ultimately will continue to look for and continue to strive for, but, you know, you still have to make concessions, you know, but I think you just can't drop your guard everywhere and just say, well, we're going to be a little bit short here, a little bit short here, a little bit short here. Then all of a sudden your team's going to get run over. You know, I have said that big people beat up little people. We believe that, but you don't, it's a different league. This isn't recruiting where you can go out and offer and then try to get them to come. Is that there's a selection in the draft process and we're not going to pick till 22nd. So, you know, there's 21 other guys that we may covet, but we don't have an opportunity to get them. So, you know, you have ideals and you have parameters in terms of what we're looking for, but sometimes, you know, that may not be exactly what you're looking for, but you make do with it. So,
as you held a quarterback competition at Oregon, and you had one obviously in the first year here. Has Nick established himself to a point where that process is no longer needed, or is that something that
I think there's always competition, and I think you can ask Nick that too. I don't think Nick's going to think that I can go out and throw 12 interceptions in a row, which he'll never do, but, you know, in that I'm your guy. You know, I think everybody kind of feeds off of that, and they understand that. And then if you also have a guy that's not competing to be the starter with Nick, then what if Nick gets hurt? And then all of a sudden the other guy goes, oh, my God, I'm not ready to play because I thought Nick was going to be the guy. You know, it's a cliche, but you are a chin strap away from playing in this league, and when your opportunity comes, you have to take advantage of that. But, you know, one of the things we do here is we compete. We have a bunch of guys that compete. Obviously, you got to have one guy. Right now, Nick's that one guy, but I don't think Nick's ever been afraid of competition. He showed that to me the first time we had that. So, you know, we're always going to try to continue to upgrade at every position. And I think all of our players know that. And I think the guys that are true competitors really embrace that. So,
how did Barkley handle? I mean, he got some really playing time there. It wasn't great for him. And then, you know, he went till the end of the season without another snap. How did he handle it inside the walls here? And that was awesome.
You know, and that's the other guy. I think I'm excited to get a full off season with Matt in here and to really get a chance to work with him, because I think he's got a skill set that's exciting when you see him, how the ball comes out of his hands, the decisions that he makes. And that's part of this whole deal. You know, I think you could never have enough quarterbacks. I've said that no matter where I was. In this league, we were fortunate that we had two this year, and then that was a huge benefit to us that we had two. You know, and we'll continue to always look at quarterbacks, and I think that's anybody that's any good in this league always does that. So,
How involved will you be in the contract end of the business? DeSean Jackson, for instance, said today that he wants an extension, a new restructured deal, stuff like that. Do you get involved in any of those discussions?
No, I don't, I'm not a contract guy. So.
How would you evaluate your first year on the job? Yeah.
I give myself 58.8%.
How do you arrive at that number?
That's winning 10 games out of 17.
Two more questions? Two more. So just DeSean Jackson, do you think he deserves more guaranteed money?
I don't talk about contracts, so that's not. I'm never going to have a discussion over. I do think everybody in this room should be paid more, though.
When you guys
stand up. Ready? There we go. Yeah.
Not him.
It's used by the network announcers. It's in the paper. What is that supposed to mean in relationship to Nick Foles? What is a franchise quarterback?
I have no idea. I don't pay attention to that. I said it before. If the Eagles are a franchise, which we are, and the Knicks are a quarterback, so it's I don't. There's no tags to it. I don't think you. I mean, that doesn't make sense to me, and I've never. I don't pay attention to it. So.
When you watched the film of Saturday night, was there anything that jumped out at you that was particularly frustrating? Any specific aspect of that game?
Yeah, there was a lot. You were there.
But, I mean, was there any one thing that...
No, there's not one thing. I mean, it was just there were some plays that you know, we talk about offensively. We left the meat on the bone a little bit. We could have been a little bit better. You know, there were some things defensively. You know, we missed some tackles at times. We did. There were a lot of positives, and then they made more plays than us, and the Saints did a really good job of executing, and you know, we came up short. But there were some issues offensively, defensively, and special teams that when you look at, you're just, you know, wish we could have that one back. So
that's it, guys. Thanks.
All right, for the final time in 2013, at least for the 2013 season, Chip Kelly addressing the media. We will not have Chip Kelly next week, but we will have an Eagles live show, so make sure you're with us at noon next Monday. Let's get back into the locker room. Riley Cooper, Eagles wide receiver, one of those players who's an unrestricted free agent, and the decision will have to be made. A nice year for Cooper, though, stepping in for Jeremy Maclin.
I feel like there's a lot of room for improvement, you know, for sure. All in all, I think I did a good job. There's some stuff that, you know, you could get better at. Always room for improvement. In this offense, everything's kind of musical chairs. Everyone has to know kind of every position. So it's kind of... Where does everyone get lined up first? And then that's where the tempo comes into play, you know? So it's not necessarily, are you a slot receiver? You know, it's not really like a West Coast type offense, you know? So, you know, it's kind of just musical chairs.
Absolutely. There's so much things we could get better at. And with everything being so new, coaching staff, the system, you know, to actually go to the playoffs and it be such a close game. I mean, the Eagles are heading in the right direction.
Take a look at the Eagles free agents to be. On this list, we include Phillip Hunt, who is a restricted free agent. Cedric Thornton is a restricted free agent. I'm not sure if Phillip Hunt is restricted. He might be. I got to look up on that one. But take a look at the list, and there are some big names there. Michael Vick and Riley Cooper and Nate Allen, some critical names. Will the Eagles bring them back? Decisions have not been made. Eagles still... really, in the evaluation period for 2013, the regular season. How about in the locker room on the defensive side, a player who's not going anywhere? Brandon Boykin leading the team with 6 interceptions this year from that slot cornerback position. A couple of game savers against the Redskins and against the Cowboys. So take a look at this. Redskins won right in the middle of that Eagles winning streak that was so exhilarating. This was the first win for the Eagles after 10 consecutive losses at Lincoln Financial Field. Boykin in the locker room today, talking about the season that was and what's ahead for him.
I mean, it feels a lot better going into the offseason knowing you kind of have a foundation, your team is back on the right track. You know where you are as a player, what you need to improve. You know, last year was just kind of, you didn't know what was going on. The whole coaching staff was gone. You know, you didn't know what you would be doing next year as a player. So. From that standpoint, it feels better just kind of having a set foundation on what you're coming back to. But, you know, I think everybody knows what they need to improve this offseason, and you know, once I think people get time to reflect, they'll look at that and come back and see what we can do better. We proved everybody wrong. Nobody expected us to do what we did. You know, we started out 3-5, and to end up how we did is just, you know, nobody expected that, like I said. So I think we, if anything, you know, we proved it to ourselves that we can be much better than what we ended. You know, of course, it's our first year in the scheme and everybody's first year, but I think there's so much more that we can do. I think we, you know, brought life back to the city of Philadelphia, most importantly. People are excited again about, you know, Eagles football, and the offseason will be a lot better up here for sure.
All right, that is Brandon Boykin, outstanding young player. This team, this roster, filled with young talent from the 2012-2013 drafts, primarily Eagles' future, very, very bright. One more time on this promotion that we'd love you to get involved in, and why wouldn't you want to do it? Rico sponsoring a VIP office party for up to 50 people at the NovaCare Complex. This is a promotion that runs only through the month of January, so get to the fan zone on PhiladelphiaEagles.com and enter now for your chance to win a VIP office party for up to 50 people at the NovaCare Complex. So do it. All right, I'm Dave Spadaro. We thank you for joining us today on Eagles Live. We're back in a week. We want to take a moment and thank three interns who are really treated as professionals and worked as professionals during the season to make everything we do so outstanding. We want to go with Dan and Tom and Ray and say thank you. This is their last Eagles Live, and we hope to have them back in the future, wherever they go. Very bright futures for these three young guys, very talented, and we thank you very much for all the work that you've done. We thank you for joining us on Eagles Live today and throughout this season. We're back on Monday. Got a lot of content to get to between now and then, of course, so make sure you're with us every day right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. It's Eagles Live today. I'll be back with you next week. In the meantime, have yourselves a great Eagles Day every day. Thanks, everybody.